You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this week, episode 194 of Columbia Calling. Can you believe it? 194 episodes. We've got two very special guests on the show, Colombian brothers Alejandro and Carlos Ospina, who are doing a very interesting project here in Colombia to educate, I would say, Colombians a little bit more in not only about their country, but also about the coffee culture that is out there. And so they've got an interesting project, and that's why they're here on the episode, that's why they're here on the show this week, and they'll be talking to us a little bit about their project and about their website. So welcome on Columbia Calling, guys.
Hello, Richard. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you're most welcome. Now, it's in a good setting. We're in a social coffee house. We're in a coffee house. We're supping back some fine black stuff. And tell us, first and foremost, how is it that you guys got involved in coffee? Why? I know it's a Colombian thing, but why do you want to get involved in coffee?
Well, to our university, we used to drink bad coffee.
Yes.
Sadly. Bad. Before I went to an internship in Switzerland, I got an offer from a friend to do a course in barista. And I took that course and took my first real espresso. And it was mind-changing, really. I went to Switzerland, and when I came back, I was offered a job in this specialty coffee roaster. I took my course, and working in there, I saw all the problems that the industry has.
Yeah.
So we decided with my brother, after he came back from his master's degree in Belgium, that we should do something that would promote a very important good for our country and for our culture, mostly. So we decided to take a step aside from the big company and create something of our own. And that's how Travesia was born, with a coffee in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, the coffee in the afternoon, so that proper espresso that you had was like that baptism.
Yes, it is.
Now, you're both quite international then. So Carlos, you spent time in Belgium, and Alejandro, you spent time in Switzerland. Do you think that this is something that young Colombians are doing? They're going away and then coming back, bringing, let's say, a knowledge of the outside world to try and improve things in Colombia?
I think there's two ways. There's the first way, like we did. We went outside and we learned a lot and tried to come back and do a little bit for our country. There are some people, I think the most of the people that go outside and have their studies outside, their master's degree, is that they stay there because they see better opportunities in Europe mostly.
Yeah.
It's not easy to come back and find your way in Colombia because this project started a few months after I came back. Mm-hmm. But these few months I spent sending some CVs and it wasn't easy. I had not a lot of interviews, and well, now we have this project that's really, really promising, and
it's best for us.
make us happy.
You get to work together, which has got to be fun, you know. Yeah. Two brothers working together. So, now this is called Travesia, right? So that's basically your company is called Travesia, and the website is traveciacoffee.com, and you've got a blog on there, and you write about your coffee experiences. So tell us a little bit about the website and the blog.
Well, the website is to tell the people about all our services. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is to give services from the start of the process in the farms to the end, to mm-hmm. the consumer. So what we're doing now, we start for the easiest one, that is the tourism, and to give people coffee tours in Bogota and to let them know there is a specialty coffee scene in Bogota.
it's nice because I've said it before and I'll say it again. When I first moved here 10 years ago, it was hard. It was not, I mean, to say that the two major chains here were the ones that where we could get coffee. Now, I mean, in this area, in Chapinero, you can't walk two blocks without finding a specialty coffee place. But it's about teaching this to Colombians as well, no? That there is a really good coffee, not just the stuff in the thermos with the panela. That is a different coffee, but specialty coffee is something that will have an enduring appeal and an international appeal. So now, Alejandro, you did a course in coffee roasting and all of that?
No, I just did a course in barism, but I do my degree thesis in specialty coffee economy in Colombia.
Okay.
So that's like my background in coffee. I've been working out in specialty coffee around 3 years.
Nice.
So yeah. So
you're like one of the forefathers of specialty coffee in Colombia.
A little bit, because industry is around 3 years old.
So. Yeah, really, it is. Yeah. So you guys, you decided it's an important thing to teach people about coffee. You set up Travesía for the experience, for tasting, for tours. You're signing contracts with some Colombian companies, I know, so that's very successful, you know. And your company is basically, what, four people? There are two other people working with you. Is that about right?
They're actually working on our new project. Okay. We'll talk about that. But the company is really just us.
It's the two of you, yes. Okay. All right. But so this new project, and that's why we're here as well, is to promote this, is that you have in the pipeline a possible crowdfunded book, which is going to be Chronica, so Tales of Coffee Growers. That's right?
Yeah, that's right. The name of the project is Relatos Cafeteros. Coffee Tales, a journey through Colombia, a travesía through Colombia. Because the beginning we wanted to take people to discover these places that are processing and producing the best coffee, the softest coffee in the world. But we don't know. We as Colombians, we have no idea which departments are producing this really soft and special and delicious coffee. So we wanted to take people with travesía through there. But we didn't know the people, we didn't know the farms, we didn't have the capacity to do that. So we decided to start with this book to show the people what's going on in there. And it's the mix of this project with some other ideas that I had coming back from Belgium, writing this book. I love writing chronicles, so this chronicle book through Colombia, giving us the possibility to discover these new places as well, because we don't know the 99% of the places we're visiting, we don't know them, and 100% of the people, we don't know them.
So this is an exciting project for you guys as well, not only to get to know more of your own country, but then share it with Colombians, because it will be a book in Spanish, but then later on you hope to print one in English too, right?
Yes, we have the first step of the project is the blog. Uh-huh. The blog is now in Spanish, but we want to try what we're doing it. We're translating it into English. And the idea is also to get all the people that want to know about Colombian coffee a little bit more, and to know from its inside. Uh-huh. Because I know there's a lot of specialty coffee bars in the States and Europe, and they tell a little bit of the story, but this story is more to sell and not to uh-huh. know the story. And then we're going to have the chronicle books, going to be in Spanish at first, and we're going to have a photography book. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in Spanish and English, mm-hmm. so we can share with more people our experience.
So this crowdfunding, these relatos cafeteros.
Oh, that's right.
The crowdfunding that you've got, now it says that you need $3,000. How much have you got at the moment? How much has been pledged?
This morning, 700.
700?
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't end until the 29th of July.
Yeah.
So there's still time, and I assume all of these costs, all of the money raised will go into the production of the book.
It's going to the trips we're planning, to the visits, to pay our trips and the photographer that's working with us. You told we have two other people working with us. There's this photographer from here, from Bogota. She's named Ana Maria.
Yeah.
And we have a designer. She's going to design the whole books.
Yeah.
She's from Colombia as well. She's studying in New York. She's a designer from studying in New York, and she's going to design all the books. So it's to pay all of this voluntary work, because
mainly the money is going to go to fund the trips, to get the stories and then write them. And at the moment, we'll go to the printing and editing and publishing. That most of the printing will be done by the buyers. Okay. If you buy the book, we will print the book.
Okay. So like almost a print on demand.
Yes.
Thing. Okay. I understand that. But the costs spiral out of control. As you know, these things become expensive.
Yeah.
Especially books these days. But I think you can do it. And also, if you get great photography, that sells a book. I mean, you know it. The pictures sell everything. So it's very important that this is well done. Now, when do you hope that the book is produced? Because it will be funded, I know that, because it's a great story, and I'm sure that some of my listeners will hopefully be inspired to throw a little bit of money your way. Got $5-$10 spare, throw it their way, you know, it's okay. Think of it like that. So when would you hope to publish the book?
We're hoping to get the book published before Christmas, really.
Yeah, I understand. The Christmas rush is good present.
It'll be a good present, really, because from a Colombian to a Colombian will be a very good present. And also, if we manage to print also the photography book for Christmas, will be very nice. Because this will be sold all around the world.
Sure. Don't do too much, though. You know, get one thing done and then work on the next one. It's taking on too much can be really, really tiring. And so, you know, I mean, Carlos, you're going to be writing the stories, all of them?
All of them and the blog.
That's a lot
of
work.
The blog is on the path.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're traveling, I'm writing that.
Mm-hmm.
You can check on the blog already. We've made already two trips, one to Cundinamarca, we can talk about that later, and the other one to Huila, South Colombia. And we have already some really nice stories in there. So I'm writing that on the way, and the book, that'll take a few months.
Yeah, of course, and then you have to edit and everything else. So during this process, while you're writing, Alejandro, what are you doing?
Well, I do all the managing, the office stuff.
Well, you're the economist.
You manage the money.
Makes sense. Well, see, this is the thing. My wife's an economist, and she studied in a good university as well. And I don't think she learned anything. She's no good at managing money, so I don't know. So I hope you're better than she is.
Yeah, economy is more like a hobby, I think.
She won't listen to this in December. Yeah. She won't listen to this, so I won't get in trouble. So that's okay. But that's the truth. It's like you always say. How many areas then? How many stories? You're talking about how many stories are going to be in this book?
We're visiting 11 departments in Colombia.
So 32 departments in Colombia, and you're visiting 11, so roughly a third, let's say.
Yeah.
And which departments?
From south to north, I can tell. We've been to Cundinamarca, to Huila. We're going to be in Tolima next week, but I cannot tell you the rest of the...
Yeah, the coffee zone in Colombia isn't only the three departments we know, or the 40 ones we know. Coffee zone is all Colombia. And it was if there was a possibility to grow Robusta coffee in here, we will grow coffee everywhere. But yeah, the idea is to go around all the country and to check not only the difference in coffee, but the difference in culture.
And it varies so much. Course.
Yes, that's why this is a chronicle book, not a technical book or some others. Yeah, it's not technical, it's not economical, it's not a formal history book. It's chronicles. It's like the most human side of the coffee culture in Colombia. Knowing our coffee farmers in a really deep way in really knowing their story, what they have been through with the violence, with the conflict, with the economy, with the Colombian history. So that's
it's very important to know that all this around, in the farms, around 1.5 million Colombians working in farms, coffee farms, and at least we have a neighbor or a family that has been in connection with coffee. So, but people in the cities don't know about this.
But this is the thing, isn't it? This is the thing that always comes up, is the division between rural Colombia and urban Colombia. We don't know. When you sit here in lovely Bogota, a nice part of town, the reality is so different, isn't it? So
absolutely.
Now, how you've been down, you said, to Yota in Cundinamarca. Now, this is a very important place historically in Colombia. Perhaps you could share a little bit of the information about that visit or about the region in general to my listeners.
Yeah. It's really interesting because, like, 2 months before going to Cundinamarca, I was reading a book from an author here from Colombia that's named Alfredo Molano. He's writing a lot about the conflict, a lot of chronicles about the conflict, and he talked a lot about these places in Cundinamarca. He named a lot, some villages, some veredas, some places that were really dangerous a few years ago. And then 2 weeks ago I found myself visiting these places, talking with the farmers, been there with these people that lived all the 50, 60 years or even more of violence, and that nowadays they're working together, they have associations, they're doing this process of going out of the violence and really developing their product, that in this case is the coffee, specialty coffee. So it was really shocking finding myself in there. But you can learn a lot from these people. We have some 2-3 stories from them on the blog. You can go there and take a look. There's some photographs as well. It's really interesting.
And so, I mean, Viota is one of the first places where the big coffee farms were, right at the beginning. Is that right?
There is a difference in how coffee grew in Colombia. At first it came... because the quinoa price was very low and the coffee price was growing. So a lot of people start changing quinoa for coffee, and some of these big haciendas, big farms that had quinoa changed to coffee. It was mostly around big cities, so cities like Bogota. And then we had we already had the big plains where we can put, or big valleys where we can put big haciendas and managed to transport coffee around. And but when the coffee everyone started drinking coffee in the world, we had these small farmers or even just citizens that were trying to look for a little bit of land to grow their own coffee. And that's why there's a lot of people growing coffee now in Colombia, even it's less than that era, proportionally. And there's the coffee zone, it's like that, where the small coffee farms are founded. And then when they go to the north, to the cordillera, and through the jungle, really, looking for a little space where you can grow coffee. Coffee grows everywhere, really, in Colombia.
It really does. It's kind of, it's just prolific, isn't it? It's all over the place. I mean, I harbor dreams maybe of having a coffee farm, but it's just a dream. I'd never do it. I'm just really good at drinking coffee. Really good at it. And I once talked to someone whose family had a big hacienda in Viota, and of course they abandoned it during the conflict. They had a telegraph service or a telegram service directly between Viota and Paris to be able to negotiate the price of coffee. It was easier for them to communicate with Paris than to Bogota.
That's
amazing, isn't it?
That's why, because the economy of coffee grew in Colombia because consumption in Europe and United States, not because we consume here coffee. That's the funny story, because people consume more Colombian coffee than Colombian does. even we import coffee.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
A shocking.
The bad stuff from Ecuador.
Yes.
It's the bad stuff from Ecuador. It's like, yeah. It's like I don't even put that in my garden, you know.
Yeah.
But it's the way things are, and that's the way in this globalized world, you know, these huge markets and how things are dictated by economies and so on. But so, you know, when you go to somewhere like Viota in Cundinamarca, and you've been down to Huila, what kind of stories are you looking for, or do the stories find you? I mean, do you go deliberately and find a farmer, or is it sort of a more holistic experience? You're there, you spend a few days, and then find out how the story develops.
Yeah, it's more like that. When we started this project, we said we want these stories to come to us. Because, as I said, we don't know the people in there. We don't know these coffee farmers. We're going to discover them. We know the story of how coffee went to Cundinamarca, how it went to Huila, how it went to Santander, but we don't know the people, and we don't know their story. We can say something. We can, if I went to Viota, I know there was a big issue with the violence in there, but no more than that. So I let the story come to us and to me, to us. And from there, we're building this book and the blog as well.
I think that's really interesting, because I think you have to be very delicate. And Colombia is still an interesting place in which to travel. And you know, you're clearly from Bogota, and if you go down, like you went down to Huila, they know you're from Bogota. If you go down to Putumayo, they know you're from Bogota, etc. So you have to be respectful and calm and just, again, not force the
interview. Yeah, it's a process. You have to spend a few days in there, get to know the people. The first day, you kind of tell, hey, I'm writing a book, can I have an interview with you? No, you have to go to learn the people, know the people, have a beer with them.
Yeah, you're going to have to put on your ruana.
Yeah.
Echar una polita,
that's it.
You're going to have to. I mean, but that's how it is. And that's how it, and like when you mentioned...
Yeah.
Alfredo Molano, it's exactly who I was thinking about when you were talking about these relatos. You know, he just sort of goes around the country and observes, you know. It's very ethnographic. It's very interesting. There's no interruption, you know. Mm-hmm. He just goes in and, you know, if you didn't know what he looked like, you wouldn't even look at him. You know, you just say, it's another old guy traveling in Colombia.
Yeah, you're not going like, at 3 I have an appointment with this farm. No, it's not like that. That doesn't work like that.
So, this is very interesting. So, some of the stories you're putting on the blog, which can be found linked to the travesiacoffee.com website. So, some you'll put there, and then some will be exclusive to the book, right? So, you don't want to cannibalize each side. And the photographs, some will go in the book and some will be saved for the English book, I suppose, again.
Yeah, some are going to be in the blog, some in the book, some in the social media. We're serving the best pictures for them.
And how did you decide to work with Ana Maria, the photographer? Are they friends, or did you hire her, or how is
it? Well, she met us when we were just born, maybe.
Yeah.
So we're older than us.
Oh, really?
And yeah, we know each other. Yeah.
It's
not that much. She's gonna be.
Yeah.
She's just
3 years
happy.
Old.
Oh,
the older. But she's a friend of ours. She's we're
childhood friend who's gonna help you.
Really, this project is just a lot of people helping to do it. We're not looking forward to. Have a lot of money or something like that.
And nobody's getting paid.
Yeah, nobody's getting paid. And there's a lot of people just helping us.
Yeah.
And that's the idea of the crowdfunding.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people helping us to take a look into the deep history of Colombian coffee.
But I think it's important because it's got the social, it's got the cultural, there'll be economic studies in there, there'll be geographical studies. Agricultural studies, I think that's very important. So I can see a reason for investing or giving some crowdfunding. Sometimes I get emails from people like in Argentina saying, oh, we're driving through Colombia, and if you give us a little bit of crowdfunding, you'll be helping us make a dream come true. Well, traveling, it's not for me. Why do I need to make your dream come through because you want to travel through Colombia? But if you're actually offering something like you guys are, actually a genuine investigation, into Colombian culture, coffee culture. That sounds to me interesting. That's something I can see people giving money to. So listen, everyone, just go onto the travesiacoffee.com website, and up there you'll find links to the crowdfunding. It's very easy. Just, you know, throw a couple of dollars there. It's all right. So these guys can make this happen. It's a couple of young brothers just trying to do something different here in Colombia and for Colombia. That's, I think that's the thing. And one thing you said at the very beginning there, at the beginning, Carlos, was it's hard sometimes to come back, and it is hard to come back, you know, especially when you spend some time overseas, and you know, and then you come back and you're putting your resume, your CV out everywhere, and it's just, everything here is so, it takes so long. I mean, you can apply for a job, but they don't reply for you for 8 months or a year or something. Oh yeah, we're now doing this. You're like, come on. So I think it's very good that you're out there and you're doing something. This is important. This is, you're not just wasting your time saying, ah, no, there's no jobs. Oh, it's hard. You're trying to do something. So I can see the benefit in this. So this is a good story. This is a good news story. I will stay up to date on your blog, what's going on. Of course, I'll help, try and help spread the word. But remember, everyone out there listening, it comes to an end on the 29th of July. So it's only a few days from now. They need a bit more money in that fund to ensure that this project goes ahead and to ensure that this plan goes ahead. So, I mean, have you got any, let's say, last messages that you might have to the listeners? Anything else you want to share with them? Anything special that's going to come out of this?
Well, what we had in the crowdfunding is that we didn't want to do a crowdfunding just like donations. So we had a lot of prizes set up for everyone that gives a little bit of, or that supports us.
Okay.
And that's the idea, that the book will be for everyone, that with helping the crowdfunding. And yeah, at the end we'll have a digital copy, online copy that you could buy.
Yeah.
For not much, not a lot. And that's the idea, just to spread the word. This is our first project, and to give a lot of education in Colombia and in the rest of the world about what's happening really in the coffee industry in Colombia with the human side.
Starting with the human side. I would say that it's the moment to do this kind of projects, because we're passing a really interesting period in our history. I know everywhere in the world people are reading this news about our peace agreement, all what's been with the FARC, and they're leaving the war and all of that. And it's the moment for people like us, young Colombians that have had the opportunity to travel around the world, to show what's really worth to see in our country.
I think that's right, and I think that you guys, you represent this new generation of Colombians that are coming through. You maybe are very aware about the politics and the problems in Colombia, but are looking for different ways to not resolve them, but let's say move forwards. Because resolving these problems is generation after generation. It's going to take forever. But if you can work together as a new generation, then maybe this is positive. Maybe we can see something really good come out of this. I like
Absolutely.
That. I like that very much. And so, I mean, so you're on Facebook, I guess, and Twitter, and all of these other things.
Yeah, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Travesia Coffee.
So what? At Travesia Coffee, we can find you on all of those things. So take a look at these pages, look at the Twitter, look at the Facebook, look at the blog, and the website, traveseacoffee.com. So I've been sitting here with Alejandro and Carlos, two brothers who are really just trying to have an interesting project that could go about unearthing some of Colombia's coffee culture. And I think it's going to go further than that, because I don't think it's just about
coffee. That's the idea.
I think coffee is the lens here. Like, you're looking at it, but there will be stories behind the coffee. The coffee is just the way of getting to these places and getting in there and getting these stories. You mentioned Alfredo Molano. I expect this to be the Alfredo Molano coffee book. I hope so. So listen, thank you so much for your time. I wish you all the best with your crowdfunding.
Thank you.
It's going to be a success. You are most welcome. And when it's a success, And when the book comes out, you'll come back. Promise me you'll come back to be on Columbia Calling and tell us about the process and how it's been and everything. Right.
We'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
So this has been Columbia Calling. I've been Richard McCall, episode 194. We've been talking to Alejandro and Carlos Ospina about Travesía Coffee, travesiacoffee.com. You can check out the website. It's been a fun chat with two young Colombians really trying to make a little bit of a difference here in Colombia, and I'm sure it will be a success. Of course, well, you can always get in touch with me through the Facebook page, on Twitter at Columbia Calling, and through my website, richardmccall.com. It's very easy that way. Thank you again for listening, and of course, be sure to tune in next week when we'll have more interesting people talking about Colombia. Bye-bye.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.